So, are you a superhero person? Are you a nerd like me when it comes to comics and the movies that came out and are coming out? We live kind of in a superhero age. We live where movies are coming out, and that's what everybody's excited for. The Avengers. Thor Ragnarok that's coming out soon. We just saw Wonder Woman, and we're going to see the Justice League coming up. And we live in this age where these superheroes are so prominent in our culture. I remember being, whenever I was younger, and we would have the animated series of different superheroes or the mutants of X-Men, Batman, Spider-Man, Superman. We saw these movies that came out. And I remember when Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire came out, I was really excited because one of the first times we were going to see just the work of CG in movies and how you can make, being a superhero in comics, you can make them real. And I was so excited about that. I remember it, because I'm a big sci-fi guy. I remember when Lord of the Rings came out, and I remember when all of these movies that you were going to get to see and be entertained by, something that I grew up with. I was so excited, and I'm 31 years old, and I still can get as giddy about superhero stuff as I did when I was 9. Call me a big kid all you want. I don't care. I really enjoy this stuff. One of my favorite questions to ask people when I know that they're into this stuff is, who's your favorite superhero? And you get to hear a variety of answers. And what I've found is there's a lot of times your favorite superhero is the superhero that you wanted to be growing up. You loved their powers. You loved what they could do. And mine was Spider-Man. I absolutely loved Spider-Man growing up. I loved jumping off of furniture and try to jump off walls. I'd get into a tree and try to perch myself like Spider-Man does, where he's got his hands in it. He's like in the squatting position. I loved this stuff. I loved being the idea of spraying web and shooting, like when we got silly string, we used it as web, and we were Spider-Man. And I would always make my brother a villain, and I loved it. But Spider-Man is one of those beloved characters, one, because he's had so much publicity. Spider-Man he's had 6 movies, 4 animated series, and I remember another series, it was a TV show whenever I was younger, where it was a guy dressed in a suit, and that's where the Spider-Man, that theme song was a hit, and it's funny because everybody knows that song. Even young kids know that song, and that's an old theme song. Spider-Man is quotable. We know the quotes of, with great power comes great responsibility. We know, I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. We know these things because he's loved. And something that as I was looking into his character, you see a lot of principles that can come out of Spider-Man. One, he was bit by a radioactive spider. Then as he's living life, through tragedy, his uncle dies. And there's a story in there too of, where he didn't want to help, somebody, or he actually looked past a person who was robbing somebody, and that ultimately that criminal was the one that killed his uncle. And then you see his life as he lives it. You see a lot of regret. You see as he grows up in high school with his Aunt May and his love interest with Mary Jane, his battles with bullies and everything that comes through that, and not only in his normal real life, but in his superhero life, you see how like normal life affects that as well. There's just so many things you can go through when it comes to Spider-Man. But a quote that I found that I thought was particularly interesting with Spider-Man is he says this. This is Peter. Not everyone is meant to make a difference, but for me, the choice to lead an ordinary life is not an option. Something that I've learned to do as I've gotten older, as a Christian, we throw everything through a filter, especially as a pastor. You're constantly looking at things and they become illustrations. You can't help it. It's part of our DNA. But when I saw this quote, and as I've watched the movies, you know, there's so many illustrations that come out of it. And I hope that when you are watching movies as well, that you're looking at it through the filter of, like, how does this apply? How, like, where's God in this? And seeing God in certain parts of culture. Now, granted, we got to be careful that we're not attributing everything of culture as godly, because it's not true. But there are things that God reveals to us in many things. And so, but this one, I want to say this quote again. Not everyone is meant to make a difference, but for me, the choice to lead an ordinary life is not an option. And when I read that, it hit me. We as Christians are not meant to live an ordinary life. And I know that sounds weird, especially when it comes to the American dream, because a lot of quote unquote Christians would think that being a Christian means that my life is okay, that I can, as long as I call myself a Christian and have the white picket fence, I'm doing my job. And that's not true. Actually, the Bible says in many ways that we are set apart. And I want to read some of these verses that as I was getting through the word. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Already in just 1 Peter 2, starting at 2:9, we see that we are set apart. We are different. We are not to live ordinary lives as the Gentiles do. We are different. In Galatians 2:20, we see that it says, "For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith." And we glorify God. Everything we do, we are meant to lift him up in everything. We even look at 2 Timothy 1:9. Let me find it real quick. It says, or starting in verse 8, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." And then even Paul saw this, and in the right off the bat, in the one of the first epistles that he wrote, Romans 1:1. I love this. He says, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus." He doesn't even associate himself as his own, but a servant of Christ Jesus. And then he says this, "Called to be an apostle," and he says, "set apart for the gospel of God." So, as Christians, we need to recognize that we are not our own. We were bought with a price.
God has taken us and chosen us, this, as First Peter said, chosen us and put us in His will so that we would do His works and purpose. We would be glorifying Him. We would be lifting Him up. And that's why I love this quote. Now, everyone is meant to make a difference. But for me, that's for us as Christians. The choice to lead an ordinary life is not an option. It's not. We need to completely take that out of our minds, that we have an option to live for Christ when we want and not live for Christ when we don't want. We ultimately are bought with a price. We no longer live this ordinary American dream life, but rather lift God up, put His will above our own, His choices above our own, glorify Him, and share the gospel. The Bible says we will be hated. You know what's funny is for these superheroes, you see that. You see a common theme among most superhero stories is that people don't like them. Yet they're trying to do good things for these people. This is why we have not an ordinary life, but a weird life. We have a different life. We have a different calling because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So let me ask you this. Do you realize you're set apart? Do you realize that your slate is clean because of the works of Jesus Christ? And therefore, we have to live a different life. We are no longer conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So are you living an ordinary life? Or are you living a radical life for Jesus? And I hope you're living a radical life for Jesus, that when people see you, they see God.